Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 8 minutes past the hour of 9. Welcome to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobat, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Alhamdulillah, we do have Maulana Ibrahim Bam on the line, and inshallah he'll be speaking to us this morning on chapter 14. We are busy discussing the chapter on the kind treatment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards the animals. We started off last week, and inshallah we'll be pursuing the same discussion in today's program also. Let's welcome Maulana into the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners.
How are you doing, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala's kindness and grace is far more than what we expect and far more than what we deserve. It is only the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Allah Ta'ala upon us.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, as I alluded in my introduction that this is week two of our discussion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's kind treatment towards animal, perhaps a recap of last week's program and then inshallah we can move on to today's one.
Yes, Maulana, very briefly, last week we spoke about what Islam has made mention with regard to treatment of animals. We had said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our deen, our glorious deen, has told us that there is reward even in showing kindness to animals. Whoever is merciful, even to a sparrow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to him on the day of judgment. Animals constitute some way an ummah on its own. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَعِرِ يَتِيرُ بِجَرَاهِهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us special emphasis that we should take into account those animals that cannot speak up for themselves. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day passed a camel that he was so emaciated that his back had almost reached its stomach. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear Allah with regard to those beasts who cannot speak. Mental cruelty also to animals is forbidden. A very famous hadith that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day was on a journey, and in his absence, the Sahaba saw a bird with its two young chicks, and they took the young ones from the nest. The mother bird all the time was circling above the air, beating its wings in grief. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came back and said, who has hurt the feeling of this bird by taking its young? It's an amazing type of thing. I was one day there in one place, and I was walking at one place, and I saw a bird circling me all the time, and you know, as if ready to attack. Mm. And a person was nearby said, get away from that place. You are at a place where the young ones of that bird is. And if you really don't move, in whatever way, it will come and attack you. So, you know, that is the compassion of a mother, even if it be in the animal kingdom. We also learn with regard to it that kindness to animals can result in the forgiveness of sin. Mm. It is said about a woman who was not regarded to be pious, that she saw a dog on a very hot day going around and around the well, lolling its tongue because of its thirst, but could not reach the water of the well. Mm. She took her shoe and she put it into the well, drawing the water from there. And for this action, she was forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mistreatment of animals is a sin. It is related from the Jabir radiallahu ta'ala anhu that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw a donkey which has been branded on its face. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah curse the one who has branded it. Well, we can continue with that, and maybe we will do so. And maybe also, today in particular, we would like to perhaps speak on keeping pets and hunting. Maybe that's something that we could spend our time on in today's program.
Inshallah, yes, as Maulana says, we can spend our time on that. You can interact with us on 011-854-1548, alternatively 488-55 or 072-786-1548. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International as we catch up on a few ads. Yes, it is a social program with Maulana Ibrahim Bam, and we are busy discussing the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Muhammad Abdul Rahman Al-Arifi, and we're busy with chapter 14, The Kind Treatment of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam towards animals. And as Maulana introduced the topic today that we want to discuss about hunting and keeping pets, etc., we would like to hear from you, inshallah, on all the relevant platforms. Maulana, inshallah, we can start our discussion.
Yes, Maulana, I just maybe want to start off with an incident that I heard from Maulana Anzar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali in one of his bayans. Maulana Anzar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali made mention of a very great scholar in our history, Abdul Qadir al-Jurjani, rahmatullah alayhim. In fact, he said that Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jurjani was amongst those who most understood the balaghat of the Holy Quran. There were two people in our history who have said that they understood the balaghat of the Quran. They understood the eloquence of the Quran. One was from Jurjan. So when he came, I think most probably he was coming into Baghdad. So because of his fame of knowing the eloquence of the Quran, people lined up to go and visit him and to come and greet him. That time, of course, there used to be one big door to the opening of the city. So a person had to come through that door. It was not like, you know, you had planes that came in from different directions. So people went to welcome him, and when they saw him, one or two people were disappointed because he limped. And they looked upon him and they started sort of observing him. So he turned towards them and said, "Do you know why I'm limping?" So they said, "No, we don't know." He said, "Let me tell you the reason." He said, "When I was small, I was playing around with sparrows, with small birds. And I was tying the string around their leg. And I kept the string. And as they tried to fly away, I pulled the string, which resulted in the bird's legs breaking." Right? And my mother repeatedly told me no, and I continued because being a young boy, I was just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And my mother said, in a fit of anger, that may Allah make you the same. So he said, this particular aspect that you see me limping is a result of my mother's dua.
Allah.
So we learn two things. One is that don't do this to animals. Don't play around with them. And the second, the importance of the dua of the mother. Very, very important. So that is one. And then, of course, while during the course of the week, I had the opportunity of one day going on a roundabout, and we saw a lot of birds. And you know this ayat of وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا تَعِرِ يَتِيرُ بِجَنَاحِيِّ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. You know, lot of people in our community have also grown up to be quite attached nowadays to animals, animals' rights. People have taken a greater liking and a greater inclination, greater enthusiasm, greater interest with regard to animals than what was done previously. Previously, who had this? Maybe because people were so involved in the daily grind of their life, they didn't have this interest. Now and more, you see. And of course, a group of ulama and Muslims went out on this, and we saw a lot of things that I thought I will just share. Right? One of the things that was just so amazing is the aspect of, you know, Allah says in the Quran that أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقُهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ وَيَقْبِضْنَ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. That you'll see birds gliding suspended between the heavens and earth, and nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qudrat keep them gliding. You know, Allah ta'ala's qudrat, مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. And part of this is that, the you know, especially those birds that glide, like the vulture, they, when they glide, they look for hot thermal wind that come out of the earth. And that is known by birds. You see, hot air rises. Right? So the birds know where there is hot air coming from the ground. And they would glide on top of those hot thermal winds that come out of the ground. So the gliding of these becomes so much easier. The hot air keeps them focused and keep them gliding without much physical pressure and physical exertion and effort. مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنُ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, it is only Rahman who keeps them in that particular situation. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا طَائِرِ يَطِيرُ بِجَنَاحَيْهِ إِلَّا أُمَمٌ أَمْثَالُكُمْ. One of the most remarkable aspects in the wild is that of the anthill. An anthill would keep ants and termites up to 50,000, even more than that. They say 50,000 eggs are given a day. Millions of eggs in that one anthill. But what an amazing thing is that the temperature is so controlled. How many mounds are open to keep the temperature regulated at a particular level? So millions of termites come in, and during the millions of termites that come in, that anthill, in the chambers, the different types of molds and the openings are all done to regulate the temperature in that anthill, the termites which created. This is nothing but the qudrat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept those animals, and you know, وَمَا مِنْ دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا مِنْ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not a living creature in this earth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the risk and sustenance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the examples. In fact, there was, you know, the person who was taken out, told us that scientists have tried to break down the termite to be able to see how they regulate temperature, to be able to put it into practice for human beings. And this is just an amazing thing. We saw about the aspect of a bee. You have a bird known as a bee eater. Now, how does that bird eat a bee when we know that the sting and the poison of the bee? So it takes the bee eater, takes the bee, and then it rubs its abdomen. It rubs its abdomen, and it hits it to remove the sting from the bee, and then it eats it. I mean, these are just some of the things that come in. Then with wider animals, the rhino defecates around a particular place to be able to mark out its spot. So when the rhino defecates, it's such a situation that it defecates around a particular area, and that is its space. No one must enter its space. I had the opportunity, and I think, well, carry on, just one more example, and I will continue, and maybe there will be other listeners who would like to come in. You know, we always heard about lions, the pride of the lions, how they protect one another, and how the males of the lions, they protect their pride. So they would be very, very possessive of the females. And one day, during a recent visit, we saw that during the night, when the male, the dominating males of that particular pride had got up, they saw a young lion that come into the pride, and they started chasing them. But the roar of those lions in chasing them was something to behold, because normally you don't associate even hunting in the pride. It is the females that hunt. Now that is not something that we can take lessons from, because in our Sharia it is the male that is supposed to provide for the family. But there, in the pride of lions, it is a female that hunts, and the males sometimes come in to help. And sometimes if it's a difficult prey, they might come in. But here, you could see their roaring and their anger. And for several kilometers, they chased those young lions away to protect their own pride. So this was something that we see that Allah Ta'ala has not kept these animals without emotions, without a means of communication. The speaking of the ends, which Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam overheard, is clearly made mention in the Holy Quran, that they have a means of communication. You know, we hear with regard to elephants that they can communicate from one herd to the other over a long range of distance. This is nothing but the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, indeed. 9:25, you are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. Well, today I'm convinced that after this you should become a ranger.
I should become a ranger. Well, you know, sometimes you see there is a jack of all trades, master of none. So maybe I was that particular jack of all trades.
MashaAllah, quite a useful insight you have, Mullah, and just simplifying it for our listeners, very good, MashaAllah.
Really, this is very, very little. In fact, I took a small notebook when I went from there, and I still got some of the notes. I was supposed to type it out into my computer, and I still didn't, and I still got that notebook, and today, this morning, I took it out to share it with the listeners.
MashaAllah. Mullah, a very concerning thing, and I think it's related to our topic today, is that the rhino poaching, it's on the rise, and it's a phenomenal crisis that everybody is facing in every country, especially in our country, Mullah.
You know, a lot of times people say that, is this something that is important? Now, I just give an example from the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنَ. You know, this aspect of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam taking a pair of every species into the ship, into the ark. Now, Allah Ta'ala commanded him to do so. It is not as if it was something that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did on his own. Hatta idha ja'a amruna wa farat tanur qul nahmil fiha min kullin zawjayn ithnain. Right? And Nuh, take a pair of all the animals, a species. Now, what Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam did was take a pair of the species, like, for example, the cats. So maybe I've taken a species of the cats, and then, of course, thereafter, the cats went into different type of species. But the fact that Allah Ta'ala told Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to do so tells you about the preservation of species. If it wasn't so, then where would we have got the situation of preservation of species? It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam to preserve. So every creature that is here comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, it's our duty to preserve and conserve it because it is the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, and sad to see that people are using it for their own personal gains, like the rhino poaching, and also the trade of ivory, Mulana.
The same thing would go, of course, if for example, the maqsad of Allah Ta'ala is to keep these species preserved, then it is our duty to see to the preservation and the wisdom of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, indeed. The lines are open, 011-854-1548, alternatively 072-786-1548 or 48855. Alternatively, you could speak to Morana Bam via WhatsApp or SMS on 083-786-2859. Morana, we may continue.
Yes, Morana, let us now start. We normally try to keep at least 2 weeks, unless there's a need for us to go beyond that on a particular topic. One of the aspects is about the pets. What do we do with regard to keeping of pets? I think it's an important point that we need to keep. Can I carry on?
Jimana, go.
The first thing with regard to it is that there is permissibility with regard to keeping a pet. The very famous hadith that Nabi Karim SAW came to a young sahabi, and Nabi SAW joked with him, Ya Aba Umair, ma fa'ala Nughair. Oh, Abu Umair, what happened to your bird, Nughair? Because he was slightly sad because the bird had passed on. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tried to lighten the burden upon him by saying, what had happened to your bird, Nughair? From here, our ulama have said that it is permissible to keep a pet. However, there are very strict conditions with regard to it. Bear in mind that if you leave an animal in the wild, to fend for itself is not your responsibility. You know, it's not your responsibility to fend for people or to fend for things that are beyond your control, right? Obviously, to help would be something that is always good. But it's not your responsibility to fend for the animals that are in the wild. Allah has made their system, and the system of Allah Ta'ala is such that they feed from one another. And that is why even those people who are conservationists, they tell you that sometimes when there is a kill, and even if you are feeling pity for a small buck that is going to be killed, or you are feeling pity for something that has been killed in front of you, then don't interfere. That is a system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has kept risk of certain animals with other animals. Allah has taken that responsibility. So the big fish will eat the small fish, and you will find all of those things. Of course, some of them have got a greater type of, we have a greater type of dislike for some animals or fear for certain animals. The crocodile, for example, even if it is not as powerful as a lion or a tiger, for example, it evokes greater fear than even a lion or a tiger. A snake will evoke greater fear. And may Allah always protect us with regard to these animals, both in this world and in the qabr and in the year after. May Allah make it such that Allah protect us from his azab. Nevertheless, what we are saying is that Allah has kept that system with regard to, so if the animal is in the wild, you're not responsible with regard to it. But if you have kept it in a cage, then you have taken it away to fend for itself, then it is very, very important for you to feed it properly and look after it. Now if something happens to it while it is under your care and your protection, then it would be something that you will be held responsible. Just as the hadith speaks about Allah Ta'ala forgiving a woman who was not known for her piety because of showing kindness to a dog, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken to task a pious person who kept a cat as a pet and did not look after it, did not feed it. I remember one day listening to one of the incidents of Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, that Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi one day was writing, maybe I might getting the details wrong, but something of this said, one day he just didn't feel, normally at a very specific time, Mawlana was very, very principled, time for this, time for this, time for this. So he used to have a time for writing, and one day he just could not write. And he was wondering, what are the reasons why normally when I sit down for write, I'm away from everyone, I got my concentration, the words flow, the pens flow, why am I not writing today? Then Muhammad Abdullah Ali says, and he remembers something to this effect, that someone had told him to feed an animal at this particular time because their feeding was to be done at a particular time. And because of that, Maulana Rahmatullah Ali says, I just could not write and there was no barakat in my writing because I was supposed to feed them and they could not be fed at that time. So once you do it, it's very important for you to keep it to care for it in every way.
And it's interesting, there are people who own pet shops. They tell you if it's a long weekend, it's a long weekend for you, but not for us. We have to make sure that we open in the morning and we provide for all the creatures we have and then go back home. So it's a constant effort that you have to put in and you have to nurture these pets and look after them in a dignified way, Munna.
Very important. I mean, there is permissibility, but there's also a permissibility with regard to it in a proper... Although one thing I must also say that we must be very careful with regard to extravagance in this regard. Sometimes people go beyond what is regarded. Another important point would be the aspect of, and these things have been mentioned in our hadith, the aspect with regard to keeping a dog. There is a riwayat that the angels do not enter a house in which there are pictures or there is a dog, right? And also there's the hadith in Bukhari, he who keeps a dog will lose out of his good deeds equal to one qirat every day, except one who keeps it for guarding the fields, the herd, or for protection. That is permissible. Although I must say that it is not a unanimous view of all the four schools of thought. I know the Hanafi and Shafi school of thought do not regard it to be permissible except in exceptional circumstances like the keeping and guarding of the fields or for protection. Whereas the Maliki school of thought is slightly accommodating in this particular regard. So anyway, dogs are something that because there is a difference of opinion, people should stay away with regard to it. But other things like cats, for example, there is permissibility. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to allow it. We also know that Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was known as the father of the cats because he was the one that had kept a cat as a pet, and therefore he was known by that particular kunyat of the father of the cat.
Yes, indeed. We're going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. In the meanwhile, you can interact with us on 011-854-1548 or 072-786-1548 or alternatively 488-55. Some interesting messages coming through on the social program this morning, and we are speaking about pets and animals and the kind treatment, and this discussion has come about because of the author touching on it on chapter 14 of the book Enjoy Your Life. Marana, some of the messages, let's take in this one. Read, Assalamu alaikum. Marana, I would like to ask you, I have two cats, both of them sit on my musalla every time I pray salah and rub against my Quran if I'm reading. Is this allowed and is it okay, Marana?
There's a hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood which says that a woman brought some harisa to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and found Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha praying. So Aisha gestured to her that she should put it down. Then a cat came and ate some of it. When Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had finished praying, she ate from where the cat had eaten. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the cats are not najis, rather they are among those who go around amongst you, they go around looking for food. I saw the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing wudu with water from which a cat had drunk. So what our ulama have made mention, if a cat eats from outside, then you have to be careful with regard to it because you don't know what it has eaten and what it is. But if the cat is within the home environment and it has been fed with regard to what you give it, then it does not impact upon what has been made mention, as we see from the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawood.
The next one reads, Manara, can we keep dogs as pets?
I made mention with regard to it, while there is a difference of opinion, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned it as permissible, the fiqh of Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi rahmatullahi did not allow it. And because of that, it's something that we should stay away from. It's very interesting to see that Imam Hamza Yusuf speaks about his time in North Africa when he said that because of the Maliki school of thought being dominant there, he said it was not uncommon for the teacher of hadith to teach hadith while the dog was footed while teaching hadith. But it's something that if, for example, happened to be in India, Pakistan, we'll find it to be very unusual. And I suppose that is also the beauty of fiqh, that different people have received deen from different sources and how they react to that. So the aspect would be that unless it is for guarding or protecting purposes, it should be shunned and avoided.
The next one reads, Mulana, we've got a cat that's 17 years old. It's quite frail, however, it's not sickly. Can we put it away?
A very difficult question with regard to euthanasia. Can I maybe just discuss this with Muftis before I come in? Those things are a little bit easy. I won't say easier, but those things that are common knowledge, sometimes you make mention of what you have read. But after all, we're still not complete Muftis, although there was one kitab only left that I ought to do to become a Mufti. So that's what they, let us keep that one about euthanasia of animals for another time, inshallah.
011-854-1548. The next question reads about lab rats. Is it permissible to do experiments on rats?
It's an interesting question, because there will be two dimensions with regard to it. Because see, our ulama have made mention that even with regard to hunting, which you will speak about, the aspect of hunting is such that our ulama have not encouraged hunting for the sake of mere pastime or mere shooting practice. I mean, there are hadith to that effect that Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not approved of that. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prohibited human beings inciting animals to fight one another. Now this, of course, in the mountain regions of Pakistan, you have the situation where they have a sport of bears fighting bears until one bear kills the other. Now, from the hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is not permissible. And people who have been to the mountainous areas of Pakistan will see that it becomes quite a spectacle where they get the bears fighting one another. Or, for example, you find that they get those very aggressive hens to fight one another. There's also something that used to happen quite often, not only in Pakistan, but in European societies. So this is something that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has prohibited. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed the one who used any living thing as a target. You can't use an animal just mere target practice. It's not permissible, it's not right. What we hear from that is killing animals just for the sake of killing is not permissible. But then you also have a Quranic ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Allah Ta'ala has created the entire universe for your benefit. Allah has created the entire universe for the benefit of humankind. So to take the life of another animal by taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it is for eating purposes, becomes permissible. So there is a precedent to use animals for your benefit. And that is why you slaughter an animal and you eat from its flesh. So in the lab rat, if it's only with the intention of killing without any purpose, would not be permissible. But if there is a purpose that is going to be of benefit to humankind, there would be some accommodation.
We've got a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Ji, brother.
Ji, name is Farooq.
Farooq speaking.
Ji, mana.
Farooq, you are a conservationist, and I maybe just thought that today we are speaking about hunting and keeping of pets. Being a conservationist, how would you look at these two phenomena, which have become much more popular in today's time comparative to previously? How would people who are in this, who are very considerate of the environment, considerate of the conservation, how would they look at these two phenomena?
Well, obviously, for the keeping of pets, I mean, we know many of our people do keep pets, and obviously, because they are under, if we can call it, under our dominion, it is our duty to look after them. like Manana, I just quote a little bit of what Manana has mentioned about the keeping of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That is again another contentious issue, but I don't want to go due to my limited knowledge about the from a dini aspect, but. Really, we just need to make sure at any given time that they do have sufficient space to walk, sufficient space to move around, and that they do have enough food. Because they're not like any other animal in the wild that can go out and fend for themselves. They are within the confines of our yard or our house, whatever it is, and they are sort of almost totally reliant on us for their provisions.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to understand first of all the dietary requirements of these animals, and mm-hmm. we don't just give them anything. Remember, a lot of people have pets and feed it everything that you eat off the table as well,
mm-hmm.
which sometimes is very good to do, but it doesn't satisfy the dietary requirement of that particular animal.
Yes, I understand.
Remember, they need a certain amount of protein or whatever it is, which we will get in the food that are made specifically for these animals.
Mm-hmm.
So it is something that we should bear in mind and maybe give them occasionally as a treat. We know some people who have pets then, and the dogs would enjoy an ice cream or like sweets or whatever it is.
Really?
But,
Do they like ice cream?
there's some dogs that eat almost anything that is eaten by the family.
Okay.
By giving them, remember they don't require a high sugar content in their diet. So what are we actually doing to these animals, and how are we contributing to their health in that aspect?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting indeed.
And then coming to the hunting, this is now again another contentious issue. But obviously, a lot of people do go out and hunt, and they utilize this animal to their benefit by consuming the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we go out and just shoot any animal, but these animals are bred specifically for the purpose of hunting. And I'm not, we're very fortunate to be living in South Africa, which is one of the top hunting destinations, if we can call it, in Africa, because ever since the problems that they've had in Zimbabwe and now in Zambia, there's not many foreigners that are flocking to those countries.
Mm.
Which has opened up for South Africa. So there's a big demand, and alhamdulillah, many of our Muslims have taken up hunting as an activity.
Mm.
But the question is now, do we hunt specifically for the meat? And big game hunting is also now on the table, and it's something that is sort of a hunter's dream to be able to shoot members of the or animals from among the big five.
Hmm.
So maybe from Moana's previous discussion, we can, is it permissible that we go out and hunt sort of a canned lion?
I haven't seen any fatwa that says permissible, unless it is for the sake of consuming the meat. And of course, the intention comes in here very clearly. Although Allah has made some sort of generosity, there is some generosity that you can have different intentions. Niyatul mu'mini khayru min amali. So you can have the intention of shooting it for the sake of the meat, but you can also have another intention that there is a certain degree of enjoyment in the whole thing. So I think there is accommodation for having several intentions for one thing. Like someone asked me the question that is it correct to use it as a trophy? Now, if you're killing an animal only for the sake of the trophy, it would not be permissible. But if you're eating it, but you're killing it because of meat, and then of course you after killing it for the sake of the meat, you do have the head of the animal, then of course you are not killing it for the sake of that trophy, you are killing it for the meat. So I don't know, ulama know how to make mention of these intentions.
So this would be relating now to, obviously, to animals that we can consume,
mm-hmm.
as being halal.
Yes.
But then obviously you have these that go out, yeah. and specifically
unless,
want
of
to hunt
there,
leopards because
the culling
they like
the things. Now, culling is permissible if, for example, experts in a field do feel that there's an a great amount of animals here that will harm the environment. So
yes.
Unless if people use it as part of culling, then.
See, from a conservation aspect, just to touch a little bit on the culling, it is necessary, because otherwise an influx of an increased amount of a certain animal would obviously have a detriment to a certain food source that they used to eat, to eat in.
Yes, yes.
So, like for example, the if we look at the Chobe Reserve in the north of Botswana,
mm-hmm.
that place many years ago was full of trees. It was sort of like almost like a forest type of an atmosphere. If you visit it now, it's almost like a desert.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been ruined like that by the elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, elephants are very destructive feeders.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, maybe to a certain extent, gee, we need to cull, because remember now we have created these fences which are now barriers for the animals to move between their feeding grounds. So they're confined within an area, and gee, culling to that is very necessary, otherwise it leads to the detriment of another species.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that has been, I think, quite comprehensive with regard to it, and I think it's important that we have had it. It's a good insight to what people have, and it's cool. Allah Ta'ala has made human beings as the centerpiece of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. But when Allah has honored human being, this does not give him an excuse to oppress the rest of his creatures. When Allah has made us the best of human beings, the best of Allah's creation, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ, it does not give us the excuse to oppress the rest of his creatures. I think a very important point.
JazakAllah. Really fascinated indeed, Manana. And we've got about 7 minutes left to the program. There's some messages. This one's got to do with fishing, Manana. Is it permissible to go out fishing, catch and release?
And the Radio Islam should be able to answer that. They've got a whole fishing program.
Good one, Manana.
Why must I take the burden of answering for that?
Insha'Allah, Saturday morning between 8 and 9, you can ask that question. Let's move on, Mullah, the next one.
I think intention will play a crucial role in that. The intention must be right. And really also, no matter what, no matter how, animals also have living their feelings. They also have life. We have to be, Allah Ta'ala has given us great amount of emphasis of respecting life. Life is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should respect it.
The next one reads a very interesting one, Mullah. It says, we have an African grey that recites the kalima, but I've also seen people who have taught the African grey how to swear. Please comment.
Now, what must I say with regard to it? I mean, surely, they, it's so important that, I mean, if we are going to, if we are going to keep these things, then it's important for you to keep the etiquette with regard to it. I mean, if you're going to keep an animal, and you know the parrots are something that always they do mimic certain type of things. Now, there's a very famous joke that with regard to a parrot, that the parrot had done something that was not right, and the owner, out of extreme frustration, had cut off the feather of the birds. And so one person one day was coming. He must have came from Umrah, so his hair was also cut, you know. So as he came in, the parrot said, "You also did something wrong, you know." No, well, of course, it's also very important. I think Imam Jalaluddin Rumi, rahmatullahi, is one amazing incident there was, that the person used to converse with his parrot in some way. It was a matter of so he was going one day to another place. And he was conversing with his parrot and the parrot said that, you know, you're going to this place, my species live a lot in that place. So he said, go there and go and tell them that I'm in such and such a place in a cage. So the person went, and while he was there, he said, if my parrot told me to do something, let me just do it. So he did it, and immediately once he said the thing there in front of all the animals, it's a Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi is why waqi'ah are either sometimes real, sometimes hypothetical, with the intention of drawing lessons. So while he was saying it there, immediately one of the birds fell down dead, you know. And so he was taken aback that, I mean, so many years I got this parrot, and I made mention of it, must be some relative of that parrot that I have at home, whatever it is. So came back home and said, this is what happened. And was speaking to the parrot. So immediately when he said this to the parrot, that parrot also fell down, and it was like dead. So in this way, he took it out and said, must be some relationship between this parrot and that parrot. And as he took it out from the parrot, then, he took it out of the cage, it flew away. So this was a message from that particular bird to this bird to be able to stay away and use this as a means of gaining his freedom. But whenever, what I'm trying to say is that in our response to the answer, in response to the question, if we do have parrot that will pick up things from us, then we need to be careful with regard to what we say. And instead of teaching them wrong things, how to swear, what benefit are you going to get with regard to how they swear? Rather teach them good things. Rather teach them the kalima, or rather teach them something that is good.
There's an image coming through from one of our listeners, Munana. It has all the Qur'ans in the animals. All the animals in the Qur'an, it reads here, وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. Yeah, they got طَيْرًا, that's birds. يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ Scattered moths.
MashaAllah.
كَأَنَّهُمْ حُمُرٌ مُسْتَنْفِرَةٌ, that's a zebra. Then they got حَتَّى.
MashaAllah, I never knew that. Maybe something that maybe I wasn't concentrating when I was doing tafsir that text.
حتى إذا أتوا على وادي النمل, that's an ant.
That's the ant, mashallah. بعودة, the mosquito in the first part of the Holy Quran.
وأعد لهم ما استطعتم من قوة ومن رباط الخيل, that's the horses.
And the horses have also been specifically mentioned in Wal-Adiyat. Allah Ta'ala has so beautifully mentioned in Wal-Adiyat that the human being is so ungrateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that a horse which you rear up will do so much sacrifice his life for the sake of the master, and Allah has granted us more, but we have not been able to do that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has granted us more than the master of a horse give it, but the horse puts itself in danger for the sake of the master. So in Adiyat also Allah has made mention of the horse.
وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ, that's the wolf, Marana.
Wolf, yeah, Allah has made mention of it. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's incident. Yes, carry on, Marana, very interesting.
مثل,
I'm sure the readers also, the listeners also find it interesting.
مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ كَمَثَلِ الْعَنْكَبُوتِ, that's a spider.
So Allah Ta'ala, let's just give a small explanation with regard to it. Allah Ta'ala says that the example of you taking protector other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like the web of the spider. The web of the spider is the easiest thing to destroy. So in a similar manner, if you in any way destroy the seeking protection of anyone else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like clutching at the web of a spider, which is no protection other than the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
قَالَ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَعْجَزْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِثْلَ هَذَا الْغُرَابِ. That's a sparrow, huh?
No, crow.
Crow.
Crow. Very, very interesting. Human being have, you know, sometimes we take pride in things. Human being have learned how to bury its dead from a crow, from a bird. And Allah has mentioned this in the sixth surah of the Holy Quran, that when the first death took place in this world, when the son of Adam alayhi salam killed his brother, he did not know what to do with the body. And he saw a crow coming in front of him, and one of the crow was dead, so it started digging the earth and burying that crow. So the brother who had killed his brother came to realize that that is what I'm supposed to do with the corpse of my brother. So the aspect of burying our dead, we had learned it from the crow, the way Allah Ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran.
فَالْتَقَتَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُمْ مُلِيمٌ.
Well, that would be the whale, and that would be in the incident of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam.
أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Feel.
Fear, of course, being the elephant, yes.
فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَصْوَرَ, lion.
Lion, mashallah.
فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ.
The dog. But Allah hasn't made mention of it in a very positive light in that ayat.
إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي لَهُ تِسْعٌ وَتِسْعُونَ نَعْجَةٌ.
It will be the sheep.
And then كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا.
Allah has made mention of the donkey. Isn't it amazing that because we would not like to, or we look down upon these animals, but if it's part of the Holy Quran and we read it, for every letter, Allah Ta'ala gives us 10 reward. So if you tell someone a donkey, he'll get angry. But if we make mention of it, in Urdu poetry, people like to talk about the gada, and they talk about the donkey. And obviously, it's not in a very complimentary light. And of course, I remember our ustads telling us, when we did not learn our sabak, they used to call us donkeys. But and one of my ustad, Maulana Lutfur Rahman, who passed on, may Allah Ta'ala fill his kabar with noor, he used to call us when we never do our work, Ullu Kapatta. That means the son of an owl.
وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. And there are many others also, Munara.
Yes. How many more are there with regard to it?
Have you... Jimra, there's about at least another 12.
Inshallah, we'll just... Even if we do carry on with the next topic, maybe it'll be interesting for us to go through it again. I'm sure I found it interesting. Maybe even, inshallah, the listeners will find it interesting.
Like, وَتَفَقَّدَ الطَّيْرَ فَقَالَ مَا لِيَ لَا أَرَى الْهُدْهُدَ.
MashaAllah. The thing I must tell you what my ustad told us when we were doing tafsir of Hudhud, very, very interesting tafsir. Maybe inshallah we will do it. I don't know if we have time with regard to it, maybe next week inshallah.
Next week inshallah. Jazakumullah for your time. Much appreciated.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.